This session is on managing, monitoring, and deploying services using Windows Application Server Enhancements, also known as Dublin. Again, my name is Stephen Thomas, and I'm a 5-year BizTalk Server MVP. I've been working with BizTalk and other connected systems technologies for over 8 years, and I run the BizTalk community site, BizTalkGurus.com. I don't have any fun pizza stories this time, but I do have a fun fact about me that is kind of interesting. Prior to starting my work with BizTalk Server, I sold toys online full-time as my job for a year and a half. And it wasn't just toys, I sold only Star Wars toys and collectibles. So I spent a year and a half almost making a living off selling Star Wars toys and collectibles. So I ship them all over the world. I shipped them to a lot of guys in Germany. I guess Star Wars is big in Germany. But so if that ever comes up on a question somewhere, fun fact about Stephen Thomas, he used to make his living selling Star Wars toys. And now I do BizTalk, so, and in Dublin. So here I am. Let's take a look at the goals for this session. First off, I'm going to do a quick recap of some of the things we talked about in our last session. I want to then jump in and do a little more of a review of our self-service workflow service, and so we can get a better idea of what's really going on in that service. Then we want to take a look at managing our .NET 4.0 workflow and WCF services from a deployment and configuration point of view. Then we're going to dive into monitoring and get an idea of what's the monitoring infrastructure available to us in Dublin. Then we're going to look at how to use monitoring to do troubleshooting for specific scenarios that might happen in your WCF and WF services. And then we're going to look at how we create custom tracking so we can configure and build our own tracking profiles to use inside of Dublin. So here's the same slide we saw earlier, where we have our Windows application server, which again, Windows Server is our application server. It has been for some time, running our executables, running our COM+, running our DCOM, distributed transactions across multiple app servers, and how we have our development tools through Visual Studio, and we have System Center to do our monitoring. Then we evolved to now have a web server, which is an evolution for our application server. That would give us IIS and WAS. Then from that, we evolved to have the .NET framework running on our boxes to give us ASP.NET in our application server. Then we came up with WCF and WF services, which gives us our managed programming model for building out our distributed services. But we determined that at this point, we're really missing an environment to run our WF and WCF services in. And that is where our Windows Application Server extensions, otherwise known as Dublin, come into play. And that's going to provide us our hosting environment for our WF and WCF services. Again, we have same points from before, where this is an extension of the Windows Application Server role, and it's used to run and manage our WF and WCF services. Timeline, again, same time as Dev 10, and additional functionality available when it's ready via web downloads. And again, I want to point out our four core themes. First and foremost, again, is the It Just Works theme, along with monitoring and control, tooling and scripting, including our PowerShell, and then our enterprise-ready extensions. This, is, again, is the same slide we saw before, where we have our Dublin software stack. Again, the whole slide kind of represents our Windows Server application server. We see here, again, our core runtime service components, which is our persistence, our hosting, and our monitoring. We see here in darker blue our monitoring, our management APIs via PowerShell, and our IIS manager UI extensions. Those are going to be the core features we're going to focus on in this presentation. and we're going to start drilling down deeper into what monitoring is going to give us. So let's do a quick review of our scenario. Current process is CSR is involved and manually booking via web services, car rental and hotel booking, and sending the email back to the customer. And we pointed out the issues with this process, how we have scale and visibility issues into what's going on. So we came up with our step three process, which is going to be the self-service portal, which the customer then sends name, email, and travel days to the service. Service sends a confirmation back. Then the user continues. The user continues and will validate his email address and then get his car and hotel service booked. But at this point, we've just talked about how we build these services, but now how do we deploy and update these services in our environments? Because we're not always going to be running locally like I am in this VM. So let's take a look at a demo. First, we're going to review our workflow service. Then we're going to look at deployment from both an IIS and Visual Studio perspective. And then we're going to take a quick look at configuration options that we have available to us. I'm going to go back into our Visual Studio project and open up our self-service booking workflow. And here we have a workflow service that was created. Very first thing is our receive request with our travel request value defined. This was a data contract that's defined here on our contracts. Pull that up, pretty straightforward. Data contract representing three input values that we want to receive. Here is where we set up our correlation. We want to do our correlation based on email address so that once this workflow starts, when an additional confirmation message comes back into us, we route to the correct running instance using that email address. We set that up, very straightforward. We set up an email correlation, which is a variable in our workflow defined as a correlation handler. And we give it a correlation name, which is email correlation. Then we give it an XPath query, which is going to be our key that we're going to use on our incoming message to ensure that we are correlating the right values. So in this case, it's email address. If we scroll on down, we have our send, which is sending back a response. We have some assigned variables, which is setting internal workflow variables that we're going to use later to some of the input values received in our request message. So we do some assigns, then we do an explicit persist. Then we send back our confirmation, which is going to be our email with our correlation token. And then we get into our receive, which is now going to sit here and wait for our response to come back. We have a different value, which is our confirmation response, which also has a value called email address, which again I use an XPath query to get to. Now, when you set this up, it's a simple matter of clicking on this and you get a nice drop down into your data contract, or you're supposed to be able to select email address as a parameter. So you don't really need to know and write complex XPath queries. I had some issues getting that to work on here, but in the .NET public .NET 4 beta, Visual Studio beta, I didn't have any problems with that to work. So I believe this is slightly older release of Visual Studio. So that sets up our correlation. So in my case, I did have to write the XPath, but typically it's just selecting it from a list. And we again echo the response back, and then we continue on with the rest of our workflow service, and like we did without the confirmation email, calling our confirm hotel and confirm car rental. Now, in workflow 4.0, when you add a service reference to another WCF service, it creates it as a toolbar item that you can simply drag and drop onto your workflow surface when you want to actually make that call. So to call confirm car, I simply drag and drop this in my workflow surface. And if you look here under properties, it sets up input and output parameters that I can simply set. So it's pretty easy to consume services inside of your workflow services. Then down here, we do our send notification, which is right here. It's a custom activity that I wrote that, again, will show up in our toolbar, which we just drag and drop onto our workflow surface as well. So pretty much all of this workflow is just drag and drop and assign a few parameters. So I like to go by the term drag and drop programmer. I'm okay with that. So we got a lot of power here by dragging and dropping. So we've taken a look at that. Let's take a look at how we would set up our projects if we wanted to have Visual Studios package and deploy this for us. So let's look at the book car. This is just a standard WCF service. So we go under properties. And since I'm running locally, I've set up my web extensions to use my local IIS service. And it's going to localhost port 90 book car. So whenever I build this, this is accessible through this address. I also have the option under packaging to, when I select package this application, to have an MS build zip package automatically created for me in the destination of my choice. So in this case, I simply right-click, go to Package, Create Package, and I would be able to create this zip package that I could then import into another instance of Dublin and have my service there running. I'm not going to do that right here. Instead, I'm going to go into our web UI and show that we can also do that same thing here. I can go right-click, Manage Packages, Export, and here I can export my settings. I have a nice UI here where I can see all the files that are in this folder. I can select and deselect as I want. Click Next. Here I can add different configuration parameters that can be popped up and supplied during import. So in this case, we have one parameter set already, which is going to be our IIS application. And that's already defined. I'm going to set a spot to export it. Oops. I'm going to call it book car. Click save and go ahead and export my package. And we can come over here and see that now I have my zip package exported, so now I can easily move this from environment to environment. And let's take a look at what that would look like. I've created another website here. If I want to import that package, you would just go to import. And remember, this is through our web UI or our IIS admin UI, but everything can be scripted via PowerShell as well, so you don't have to do the UI to import, export, or do anything that I'm showing you here. We could simply select book car, click next. If I didn't want to import files, I have that option here where I can uncheck them. And next again, and you'll see here where I have my configuration parameter defined, and here I can give it any name I wish when I actually import that application. I'm going to cancel this just so it doesn't import the same application again. But let's take a look at what else we have available to us here in Dublin. Again, I talked about these four top application server extensions, one being the endpoints, one being monitoring databases, one being our persistence database, or our monitoring dashboard, I'm sorry, persistence databases and our services. Let's dive, oh yeah, go ahead. This is 7.0. Okay. He asked what version of IIS this was. And I come in here and I can see the services that are running under this virtual directory. I can go back and I can select my endpoints and see what endpoints I have under this virtual directory. And let's go ahead and look at other parameters I have that I can configure on my virtual directory. So here we see at the top, defaults cannot be edited in the current scope. That's because at a higher level, I've defined defaults that I want all of my virtual directories under them to extend from. So I can do that at the website level or at the server level. So up here I can configure defaults, and again I can set monitoring levels, and here I can set a default event collector. I can change the level of monitoring I want. We'll get into these levels of monitoring later, But if I drop it down too low, I get a pop-up at the top saying, I'm setting this too low. The monitoring dashboard's not going to be able to provide me a lot of value. We're going to go ahead and keep that where it is. I can import tracking profiles and also set up message diagnostic. We have the ability to configure default workflow persistence store, as well as set some basic performance and security information. So down here at this level, most of these values are already defaulted, and due to an issue with the current code, I'm not able to actually override them here, but hopefully that'll be resolved by the time we actually get this code. I do have the ability to override some things like the health monitoring, which I'll leave the same, and since it's not a workflow, I don't have the rest of the items available. So let's go ahead and take a look again at our endpoints. And I was at the wrong scope, so I got everything. So here's our book car endpoint. Let's go to configure. And here I can actually change this endpoint address if I want. I'm going to change this here. Click apply. And just like that, you can see I've changed this endpoint address simply through our IIS UI. And go back to our slides. So we took a quick look at how to deploy a Dublin-based solution. We looked at how we could control that solution. Some of this we saw in our first demo by changing our scope at which we sit inside IIS Manager and being able to suspend, terminate, and resume workflow instances. And we took a look at how we can set and configure setup values at import time. And it's important to point out again that all this functionality is available through PowerShell. So this can be embedded inside custom apps. Anything you write, it doesn't have to use the UI, can use PowerShell. So I asked earlier how many people had worked with Workflow 3.5, and it wasn't very many. So what Microsoft has done is collected current pain points with WCF and Workflow 3.5 from a monitoring point of view. I haven't done much with Workflow 3.5. I have done some stuff with WCF 3.5, and the stuff's pretty basic, so we haven't had a lot of monitoring problems. But I do know that our monitoring exists of simply writing out message bodies through our channel before and after to ensure values are encrypted and decrypted correctly. So Microsoft came up with some pain points. First off is event fidelity. So they found out that the volume of data that they get is too high, and the quality of some of that data is too low. So we get a lot of data, but a lot of it isn't really valuable to us. We also found that the data models are not consistent between WCF and workflow, making it difficult for people to use that information. We also talked about event distribution, where we have a significant performance impact when we actually want to turn on performance counters in .NET 3.5 and actually capture information about our services. We lack a centralized store for the event data, so it's difficult to have queries that span multiple boxes in order to get our information. And we have few options if we want to move this data off boxes into some other offline system. And then the last pain point was on monitoring and diagnostic tools, where we have a lack of a unified tool across workflow and WCF, and we find that it's difficult to configure service monitoring to begin with. So that's where Dublin monitoring investments come into play. First, we're going to talk about event sources. Next, we talk about event transports. Then we talk about our monitoring store. And last, we talk about tools that are there for us to get access to all this information. So first off is our event sources. You can see at the top right where this will tell us where we're at in our process. We're at blue right now, so we're at event sources. This is what .NET 3.5 gives us today. We have WCF and workflow performance counters, as well as diagnostic trace and WCF message logging. Like I said, today on my current project, we leverage the WCF message logging and haven't really got into performance issues related to diagnostic trace or using the performance counters. So in .NET 4.0, we add two new features. We add a workflow tracking, and we add WCF analytic tracing. Let's take a little bit deeper look into what this means. You'll see a centralized theme here in as we talk about these, that there was a lot of emphasis put on the performance and the overhead that these event sources cause to our running applications. So pretty much all of these have increased performance in terms of leveraging them as we're running our application. What's in green exists today in .NET 3.5. What's in black is new functionality in .NET 4.0. So here I'm not going to cover what exists in 3.5, but the new piece to our performance counters is our reduced memory requirements to make them, now we can actually use them, is from what I've heard. Our diagnostic trace stays the same. This is our verbose data, which people can use to get detailed information about what's going on. Our WCF message logging, that now has support for event tracing for Windows, which is ETW, which is a high-performance service for monitoring events on our Windows boxes, and again, performance improvements. Our new for .NET 4.0 is our analytic trace, which is going to be always on by default, so we always have the ability to get access to this information. And again, it has our ETW integration. And then we talk about our workflow tracking, which now has the ETW support as well as performance improvements. So now we move on and talk about event transport and collection. So now we're on our blue event transport. So we talked about our ETW service, which is going to be used to move our information, and our performance counters, which now we can leverage. And all these are going to go through an event collector service, which will then go to a centralized monitoring database, which is point three into our monitoring store. So now we have a single point where all our monitoring data can be stored. And on top of our monitoring database, of course, our tooling, which is our PowerShell, and extensions to IIS Manager, which is our UI, which is what I prefer. So let's take a look again at our demo scenario, where we have a car service may fail periodically. We saw this during the first session. So what happens when that service fails? And how do we go about leveraging these monitoring tools we talked about to find out what the problem is? So we're going to jump into a demo and see what happens when our service is failing and how we can use these tracing tools to determine what the problem is. So I'm going to go back in here. I'm going to go ahead and submit a new request through our self-service portal. And this is going to be Stephen09 now. An email Stephen09 for 9 days. Submit the request. And we're prompted with our confirmation page. Let's go make sure we got that email. And Stephen09 is here. Let's enter our confirmation number. And here we see our thank you page. So we validated our email address was successful. And now we would expect to eventually receive that we've booked our car service and we've booked our hotel service. Let's take a look at our emails. But nothing's arrived. So now let's dig into Dublin and see how we can determine what the problem is. Let's take a look in here. We can go to our top-level monitoring dashboard, which will give us a quick level snapshot of everything running in this application. And we can see here that we have two suspended workflow service instances. Again, there's really only one. So that's probably where our problem is. We see we had a failed WCF call as well. So let's dig into here. And you see here under the overview, we get some basic information about this service. This has always been there. Number of tracked events so far is 18. Let's go in and let's see what these tracked events are. And we see our error here, unhandled exception. Let's see, we'll get exception information right here is available to us. And we see that endpoint not found exception. This is because earlier I went in and changed my endpoint. So now we know how to fix this. Let's go back to our car, to our endpoints. Here is what I changed. Let's go ahead and set this back to the default. And now as I change these values, such as configuration values, I change my monitoring information, all that feeds back to the web.config file that these services sit under. So if I was to have that web.config open in Visual Studio, every time I popped back, it'd be warning me, do I want to reload this file? So all this sits underneath all these services. And let's go back and resume. We have our, now it does show only one, so that's good. Go in here and resume. And we've fixed our process. Hope I didn't hit stop. And we should see now we did get our email. This is very similar to what we did in the first session, but now we see it here in a little bit more detail. So let's go back to our slides. So we talked about having our event sources, but where does this information actually come from? So in a WCF service, we have WCF instrumentation. And this is the same whether I'm an out-of-the-box standard WCF service or whether I'm a WCF workflow service. I'm going to have basic WCF error events, and I'm going to have the performance counter information as well as operation and message layer events. These are going to be available. Now, once I add our workflow services into this, or workflows that aren't hosted in a workflow service or WCF service, I have additional information available to us, which is, of course, our workflow error events, as well as instant event information. And then we can really dive deep into our workflows and get all our activity event information. So with all this information available to us, we have various out-of-the-box levels of instrumentation that we can turn on and off. We saw the drag bar. We can drag up and down. First off was level none, which obviously gives us no information. We have level minimal, which will give us just error events. We have health, which is going to be the default setting, which gives us some basic core information about our services. This is what I have running right now. So I think this gives me quite a bit of information today. And can you imagine troubleshooting, which then gives us pretty much everything we'd ever want to know about what's going on right now and what has happened in our services. So along with these out-of-the-box configurations, there's also custom configurations that we can set up. So we can custom set up different levels of events we want here, or we can create our own tracking profiles, import them into our system, and actually use those to actually catch specific events and variables inside our workflow. So let's go ahead and take a look at that. Let's see how we can actually set up custom tracking. We do that by creating a tracking profile, which in the PDC bits that came out almost a year ago now, they had a tracking profile editor tool, which was very similar to other tools that are available for doing similar tracking, that give you a nice UI to open up your workflow and create these tracking profiles. I didn't use that tool for this. This is a custom-built XML file. Not a lot to it, though. We simply assign the name of the tool or the workflow item that we want to have our values associated with. So in this case, it's assigned the confirmation token. And if we look back under our workflow service, there's actually a shape called assign the confirmation token right here, which when this shape gets hit, this tracking or closes, defined here, this tracking profile is saying, I want to save the state of these three variables. So I want email address, full name, and number of days travel. I want to get that information pulled out and persisted.
Which scope it uses?
Which what?
Which scope does it use for those variables?
They would have to be accessible to that shape. These variables are defined at the workflow scope. Okay. So the question was, what scope does it use? If these were out of scope, I would assume it would not work. I'm not sure. I've not tried that. If you can have same name of variables and different scopes. But I would imagine these would have to be in scope. And one thing that is different from the CTP release was you had different accessor levels that you could assign to your variables inside Workflow 4. That seems to have went away, where there is no longer, you could mark variables as protected so that you couldn't actually pull that out via a tracking profile. It doesn't appear, at least in this release of Visual Studio that I'm running here, that that is possible any longer. So it seems like you would have access to anything that is a workflow variable. But on one side is you would have to know the name of that workflow variable in order to pull it out. So if you're giving someone access to actually look at the workflow, then you know, keep that in mind that they'll have access to be able to create these tracking profiles. So I can go ahead and let's look at how we import this tracking profile. I'm going to go to my services, and I want to set this under my self-service booking tool, or travel service. Go right-click, and go to configure. And let's go to monitoring. You can see there it took it a few moments to load up while it's actually reading the web config file. And click on monitoring, I'm going to click configure. And right now it's using the default that I assigned at our web service default level of health monitoring. I'm going to click Add New. I simply need to browse to my tracking profile. I'm going to give it a name. I'm going to check the checkbox to ensure that this is the default tracking profile that's going to be used right now. And click OK. And now what this is doing is taking my tracking profile, doing some conversion to it, and sticking it in the web.config file of this application. So if we went and checked at the web.config file, we would see those values actually in there, which I'll show you here. We scroll down. We see here that we've basically imported that custom tracking profile into our web.config and set up our values that we're looking for. All this, again, is in our web.config file. So let's go ahead and run it and see how we can get this information. I'm going to come back here. And let's do Stephen 10. Remember that name. Let's do it for 10 days. Submit my request. Make sure I get my confirmation token. Okay. But at this point, I'm not going to confirm this request. So if a user went and maybe entered the wrong email address, they might call up and say, I never received my confirmation. So it might be up to one of us to then try to figure out what happened to their workflow. Well, since we have our custom tracking profile, we come in here. We can go to View Tracked Events. Again, we have at our top query bar that shows us what query we're actually doing for this. I'm going to change my scope to be at that application level. I'm going to change my events to be just our workflow events. And then now, under here, I have the ability to select my tracked workflow variables as a query parameter. And even better, over here, I get a drop-down of the available values I have that I can query on. So it's not a lot of thought that needs to go on. It's just right there for me. I'm going to select full name. Put in my Stephen 10, run it again. After I tab out of it, run my query, and this takes me right here to the exact instance, and I can view those track properties, and here I'd be able to confirm whether or not that person entered the right email address. And all that's just right there for us. And in our overview information for this event, we would have, you know, our workflow instance ID, which we would then be able to put into a query where we could terminate the workflow if we wanted to tell the user you need to go back and re-enter a valid email address. So that kind of shows us what some of our custom tracking can be used for. Let's talk quickly about extensibility to this process. Pretty much anything in here can be customized. So if you don't like the monitoring database, you can write your own monitoring database. If you don't like the way ETW is moving events through the event collector, you can write your own service to do that. The only thing to keep in mind is if you replace one of these systems, you might break something else that Dublin is depending on that system for. So obviously, you replace the monitoring database, the PowerShell commands aren't going to work any longer. But Dublin does give you that flexibility. So let's take a look at our different types of monitoring topologies. So we've done a lot of work just on my box on a single server environment. So we have a single machine using an ETW session via our event collector service writing to a monitoring database. We can very easily set this up so that we have other services using a different ETW session writing to a different monitoring database. Then we can also have additional machines that can also leverage other monitoring databases. So there really is no lockdown in what you can and cannot do from a how are we going to leverage these monitoring databases. Everyone could use the same monitoring database store if you wished. So we want to review the key features of monitoring and troubleshooting. First is our event sources, which have been enhanced. Second is our event transport, which is now ETW-based to provide us absolute top performance. We have our monitoring store, and we have our tools. So let's recap our scenario. Again, we have our four themes, spearheaded by It Just Works. And we have our ability to use our monitoring database to help us resolve problems when we determine that a car service is not available. So again, we have the same summary we had before, where Dublin is extensions to our IIS process and the Windows application server role. We again have our four themes. Most important is It Just Works. I hope we got that out of this presentation. Simple and powerful, and that this adds value for our WCF and workflow services.